I believe in the Lord, and I do my best, and I pray, and I'm, you know. And they try not to be hypocritical, you know. But they don't achieve the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ because their doctrine does not lead them to that. And the child conceived in Christ never comes to full, never comes to the full birth, never becomes the full man. The fullness, the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ. And I don't think that you can stand in the evil day unless you are very far along that path. I mean, but God, remember, God can cause things. Remember the parable of the workers? Where some started early in the day? I feel like that's me. Because it's been with me my entire life. You know, I was basically born a Christian. By heritage, by instruction, I was raised that way. You know, unbelief in God came after belief in God. I mean, when I started to doubt when I was older. I didn't start off as an unbeliever who received the gospel. It's like the gospel was like my mother's milk. Not that my mother gave it to me. But I mean, it was something I was fed on from my youth. Through my father. My earthly father. So, for me, I feel like I started early. I look at my father, my earthly father, I think, oh, well, he's kind of like one of those middle-of-the-day guys. Because it really, to him, the real faith didn't come until he was like a little younger than I am now, in his 30s. Some people, it's going to come late in the day. And it's not so much about when in your life it comes. It's really in relationship to when the end of the day is, so to speak. Meaning, some people could come in the last months of this earth or in the last months of their lives and have a very quick progression, a very quick turnaround in the spirit. Other people, we labor in the heat of the day. I feel like that's my life, labor in the heat of the day. You know, I don't want to fulfill what they fulfilled in the parable. Let others fulfill that, please, where they looked at the others with bitterness and said, hey, we worked all day. How come you paid them the same thing? You know, they're wearing the same armor I'm wearing. Got the same salvation I've got. Well, don't be bitter against it. I pray I will not be. I have this intellectual desire not to. You know, but sometimes you have no control over it. You know, the day comes and all of a sudden you're just sort of like struck like, hey, you know. And then, because God's word's going to be fulfilled one way or the other. Well, you know, maybe not in us, okay? I pray not. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. I said, the helmet of salvation. Well, you know, you got to have a helmet on. You must wear a helmet at all times. Well, that's just like no-brainer, right? Helmet is required. Don't think you can get off with just a shield and a helmet. You show up for God's army on inspection day wearing just a shield and a helmet. He's going to kick your rear end. What do you mean showing up in my army with not, you know, without the full armor on? Did I not issue you one shield, one helmet, one belt, one pair of shoes, one breastplate, a sword? Did I not issue those items to you? Well, and he was speechless. I thought this was all I needed. Yeah. One piece falls apart, truth, and the rest of it just... Shield is not regulation. That's not a regulation shield, soldier. See everyone else? They've got this shield. Why is your shield so different? Do you think these holes in your shield are going to stop all the fiery darts of the wicked? Your faith has to be complete. Let's think of foolishness of people. They think that faith is just, oh, I just believe, you know, and it's just one set of facts, or maybe two set of facts. I believe in Jesus Christ, the name. I confess it with my mouth, and I believe in my heart that he raised him from the dead. That's all I need. I got a shield that's like, I got a half a handle and a piece of wood way up here, and I can't get the two to stick together. Pitiful. You're going to get eaten up in the day of battle. Guaranteed. The armor is not to be taken for granted, not to be treated lightly. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I was just like, the sword of the Spirit. I was wondering, I got a sword, a sword. I think I, for many years, I just ran around like this, like a Conan, with just a sword. Ah! All I need is a sword, because I'm just going to, who needs a shield? Who needs a breastplate? Who needs a helmet? I've got a sword. I swear, there's a lot of people out there like that, I think. They run around with the word of God, and they don't have righteousness, they don't have the right faith, they don't have salvation, they've got the word, and they're gonna stick you with it. Ah! You know? That's the only piece I need, that sword. I'm gonna go around and I'm gonna really cut things apart. Really something. You know, there's no guys in loincloths and with wild hair and just a sword. There's no berserkers in the Lord's army. It's a well-regulated army. Well-armed, well-defended, invincible. It's got the whole thing. Right, and the word. You know, the thing is, there's so many things you can go with the word. You know, it's, you can do, you can be. The word is effective off the tongue. Every Christian who takes up the tongue, in the word of God in his mouth, is turning his tongue into a sword. And as James said of the tongue, it is an unruly member, and it needs to be bridled. Thing is, I have no doubt that in the things I've said some things I probably, I try and do everything by the Spirit, you know? And anything I've said by permission, I feel like I've qualified that enough. And God has helped me. But the tongue is an unruly member. It is. And I know that in my past, certainly, I have misused the sword. And possibly damaged people I shouldn't have. Possibly